Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny.
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With Dylan Hafer.
Who gonna check me, boo?
And Barry Rosenfeld.
I need to start drinking alcohol.
Now go to sleep, wee.
Everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer.
And I'm Barry Rosenfeld. Good evening.
How's it going?
Good evening. Fuck off.
Good evening. It's going swell. Me and Dylan are a delight right now for the eyes, if you guys can see, if only.
This has been an interesting couple of days. Obviously, we got some results in the election yesterday. I personally was hungover all day today. But, you know, luckily we have an episode of Real Housewives of Potomac to talk about. And it's exciting to see them on like an actual trip. I feel like I haven't thought about Europe in a while.
I thought of that as I was watching it. I was like, wow, not only like, yeah, wow, traveling, what is that? But also I feel like we haven't seen them, these ladies travel, or maybe it just has been a whole season of waiting, which it has. But I was like, oh my God, vacation.
Well, it's crazy. I was thinking about this in my head because now that they've been filming all of these Housewives seasons with more like short distance trips, this is the last International Housewives trip we're gonna see for a while, so soak it up, ladies. Drink all the poom poom.
Oh my God, if they said that like one more time, if they said that one more time, I was like, what is this? But also I'm like curious to taste it. I kind of want to like the drink of Portugal.
What is it, like passion fruit or something?
Yeah, but I don't know what alcohol. Did they say an alcohol that was in it? I don't know, like punani.
it sounds delicious. They're clearly very into it. But let's of course back it up a little bit. We kind of start the episode off with Karen sitting down with Monique and letting her know about this trip that she is not invited on. And I think Monique takes it pretty well. I feel like in terms of her going on this trip, the writing was kind of on the wall. Like, she wasn't surprised. So
right.
I don't know. It's just, it is interesting then Ashley is like saying that she didn't get a chance to tell Monique before Karen told her. And it's like, that could have been a phone call. Like I don't know what.
Like that's another one of those cases where it's like, you didn't, like in OC when Bronwyn didn't have a chance to say, you had a chance to tell Monique that you didn't invite her on this trip. And also this is definitely an example of something where like, she absolutely should have found out from Ashley before anybody else.
Right, because regardless of whatever, I mean, clearly production kind of sets up these trips and stuff. It's not like Ashley is actually planning the whole trip, but you know, at least we're operating under the idea that it's Ashley's girls' trip. So it's like, I would want to, especially because Ashley is friends with Monique. I don't understand why that couldn't have just been a quick phone call, but whatever. It's water under the bridge. Monique doesn't seem that upset. I just think Monique at that point had to know, like, I wouldn't want to be around that whole group anyway. So
yeah, the trip would have been awkward is like an understatement with what I'm envisioning it would have been if Monique was there. Like,
well, the problem is if Monique was going on the trip, it would have only been Monique, Karen, and Ashley. Like, it wouldn't have really been a cast trip.
Something else, though, that we see and find out about Ashley and Monique's friendship, though, is that Ashley, we know that Ashley defends Monique in this whole situation, which I'm sorry, but as we were watching it more this episode, I was like, can we stop talking about this already? Did you feel that way?
A little bit, but I felt like this week, for the most part, they didn't talk about it too much because they really didn't bring it up with Candace at all. So
yeah. So anyway, I know, but I was just like, God, and then we moved on and we got to Portugal. I was like, okay, thank God. But then we found out. So Ashley wrote a statement defending Monique, and we knew verbally that Ashley, you know, right, was on her side, but to see that she wrote a statement, that's like a big step. And again, something that Ashley should have told Candace, but yeah, we do see that next week.
I was kind of confused going into it because in the preview they had mentioned Ashley writing a statement or whatever, yes, but I thought it was about this specific incident, and I'm like, Ashley was in the bathroom, but it turns out that it was about their fight last season, where, to be honest, of course Candace was mad at Ashley, but if she's gonna write a statement and say that the butter knife was like a physical threat or something, I feel like it's a little bit blown out of proportion. But either way, that's no small thing to be like, yeah, I wrote like a legal document, basically like a character assassinating the person that you are trying to, you know, get charges against.
Right. But the whole like counter suing and blah, blah, blah. And so I kind of just want this to like not be the conversation on the trip, which it doesn't seem like right now that it's going to be, because I just want to like focus on other things like, yes, Giselle's headband.
Giselle's headband. Oh my God.
It's not the headband. It was the whole outfit.
Well, it's the whole outfit. Okay. I don't think I would like the headband regardless, but it certainly does not go with the look that she's giving off. I was reminded of the first episode of this season when Giselle was wearing her tiara baseball cap. And then I looked up both that and this headband. It's a Gucci headband. Both of them are hundreds of dollars. So Giselle, I would say, needs to invest in her designer headwear more responsibly.
Thorough. Yes.
Save some of that money and get a stylist, please.
I was literally just going to say that, but it was just the whole outfit was cracked me up because it was like camo pants and like a chiffon red blouse. And I was just like, no, this doesn't match the headband. But
this is her look for dinner at the first night at the hotel in Portugal. It's like, what is this, a camo and a blouse and a headband? Like, and it wasn't even like a headband with a big hair look. It was like a headband with a low ponytail.
Yeah, I was like, oh my goodness. But anyway, speaking of our sweet, sweet Giselle. So we get to Portugal, and we are at this dinner. And it's funny because more and more and more and more throughout this specific episode, we see Giselle just like, how are you doing? How's your marriage? How's your relationship? How are you doing? How's this? And I'm just like, mm-hmm, oh my God. So Ashley does announce that she's 100% back in her marriage. I do like the way this show is produced, like the way they clip everything together. I'm just like very impressed because it leads to each scene. I know that's right, a producer's job, but still.
We get a lot of different, in the first kind of couple group meals in Portugal, we're getting a lot of different, you know, sort of threads being carried on. We have Wendy and Karen continuing to go on.
Oh yeah.
With Wendy just cannot stop talking about her degrees, and I thought it was a nice story that she shared about being named after Wendy's, where her dad was made a manager. I thought that was a really cute moment, and yes, Karen was like, wow, thank you for sharing that. And then Wendy was like, and that's why my degrees, blah, 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 blah. It's like,
see, we talked about that a while ago.
We could have moved past this last week.
Right. And obviously we're very impressed with her degrees. And like, no one's taking that away, but it has already been episode after episode after episode of like, but we know. So at one point she was like, stop worrying about what kind of doctor I am and start worrying about what kind of doctor you aren't. And I was like, wow.
It's like rough. The thing is, it's like, okay, sick burn, but Karen never said she was a doctor.
Yeah.
So that's funny because they so they finish that that part of the conversation. They say it's over. Wendy's like, I think I put a button on it. I'm like, okay, good for you. And then the next day at lunch, Wendy brings it up again. And somebody was like, oh, like, I thought you put a button on it. And Wendy's like, I'd like to unbutton it for a second.
I like that, but
I don't.
It reminded me of one of those
things where.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It reminded me of one of those fights where it's like you think about afterwards when you get home, you thought about what you should have said. So she was like, I have one thought.
You're like, oh, like that would have been such a good point. But most of the time you just then let it go. But Wendy's like, I'm gonna bring it up at lunch tomorrow.
Yeah. And it didn't like go, like we've seen already that like Karen really shuts it down.
Well, so. I think my thing with Wendy is that I like her a lot and I think she has a lot of potential, but that she is not realizing how minor of a thing this feels like. And so it was an interesting conversation the first time, maybe the second time. But by the time we get to Portugal, it's like, this is, you've had this argument and it wasn't really, you know, Karen said that she respects your education. It's not, it's a, you guys are just on like different planes. It's not, you know, it's not something that's actually worth bringing up over and over.
Especially with the same group of people. It's not like you're with different people and you're like, let me fill you in. But it's like the same group of people. It's the same audience.
Right. It's like you had this conversation at the group dinner and then the next day at the group lunch. Nobody's forgotten anything.
I do have to point out at this group lunch where Ashley came back with her pump. And I don't know, I think it was Robin, I think one of them, they did it really quickly and she was like, Ashley, as in like you could have worn, like, come on. And she's like, whatever, what, it's legal here. And we're like, yeah, but you are in like another country, like give like some warning. Or like maybe she should have, like, she was very nonchalant at the table, but walking to the table she was like, here I am. I was like, oh god.
I certainly would never, you know, like shit on a woman for breastfeeding in public or anything, but the visual of her walking back to the table with the full breast pump setup was pretty hilarious.
It was the walking to the table, not like doing it in public. It was the trip from the bathroom to the table.
Also, so they're at lunch and she said something about making Dean's lunch. And it's like, first of all, ew. Second of all, Dean's not even in the country.
Dean is okay. I say this 100 times, but he is so cute, and I feel like he's just so little. Like he's just a little tiny baby still. But I feel bad because I did really get, like, I was gonna say emotional, but please, we all know I didn't get emotional. When Ashley calls Michael, because we know that this is the first trip really that Ashley hasn't brought Dean with her, and we know what happened the last time that Ashley left Michael. So this was a little, and she kept saying to each woman, no, like, it's not about that, like, I'm not thinking about that. So she goes to call her friend Eve, who is watching Dean. I confuse them because they look so much alike, Michael and Dean. And Michael is not home from work yet, and Ashley gets very, like, it was like a trigger. Like, she is very, very emotional and like breaks out into like sobbing. And at one point I was like, oh my god, like, is he out? But it turns out he was just at like a business meeting, so he says, and he's on his way home, and they both overreact and yell at each other and hang up. But then when she calls back, he like apologized, and he was like, I didn't realize I was only a few minutes late. So I was like, I get it, work is work, but it was like, it's your one time that you actually like were home and supposed to be responsible for your child. And especially if you're aware of what happened last time, like, wouldn't you be on your best behavior?
Right.
Calling all my honeys. Support for today's episode comes from Honeylove. Whether you're a bride, a wedding guest, or simply seeking everyday smoothing, Honeylove is the go-to for all things shapewear. Honeylove has revolutionized compression technology, so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. For a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/MIA. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/MIA. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling Superpower Short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. It's designed to work with your body, not against it. The Superpower Short is helping ladies everywhere sculpt and smooth from stomach to thigh by offering just the perfect amount of compression. You won't have to worry about it rolling down, which is unheard of in shapewear, thanks to flexible boning that's hidden in the side seams. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/MIA. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/MIA. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Shape your life with Honeylove.
I think what it comes down to for me, and Karen says this, is that you shouldn't be in a position in your relationship where you're that upset and worked up and nervous because he's 10 minutes late coming home from work. Absolutely. And it's like, and yeah, so it's an interesting dynamic because I think obviously she did overreact in a technical sense, but there's reason that her mind goes to that place when Michael's late to come home. And the fact that on the phone, he was like, I can't do this. I can't do this. You're molesting me. It's like the fact that he doesn't automatically realize I'm the reason that this conversation is like this because of what I've done in the past. And it's not, obviously it's something to work on and you can work on building that trust, but Ashley isn't concerned about it because she's just crazy and psycho. She's concerned about it because it's something that's been a problem before.
Right. And I feel bad because when she got so upset, she was like, I miss my baby. I just want to go home, because, you know, that's like her routine and her responsibility. And she was like, I felt really bad. I was like, this is like really sad to watch because it shouldn't be this way, essentially. But we see that he was just a few minutes late from his business meeting. Like, that's it.
Yeah. Tentatively feeling okay about Michael and Ashley for this moment.
I love that. Tentative.
No philandering was going on that we know of. Thank goodness. So besides Ashley and Michael, the other main relationship that we talk about a lot in this episode is Giselle and Jamal. I like that at this first dinner, we're kind of just going around the table talking about everyone's little dramas. And Karen Huger specifically has a lot of thoughts about how Giselle hasn't brought Jamal around the women and whether their relationship is kind of as real as Giselle talks about it being. And to be honest, like, I think those are valid questions. I understand why Giselle is annoyed at them being brought up in this way, but like, I would have questions about Jamal, and like, Robin clearly has a lot of the same questions, and she's, you know, pretty much always on Giselle's side. That relationship just is kind of shady to me.
I 100% agree with Karen in this. Like, no one is obligated to share details of the relationship. However, Giselle can't ask every single person about their relationship and not share anything about hers. Like, that's where you draw the line. Like, you can't be like, so how are you and Michael? So how are you and so-and-so? What's going on with you guys? And then like, be like about hers, like, we're good. And then to FaceTime him at the table just to prove that like they talk. And I loved when Karen was like, he lives in her phone. And I was like, that's kind of true.
And that when Karen was like, that's not enough for me, but all right, do your little FaceTime. I mean, it's just interesting. And they're talking about then, you know, Giselle's like, you asked, like, you haven't been that open in the past, Karen. And Karen says, would you tell all your secrets to Satan? Like, Karen. Comparing Giselle to the devil is a little bit severe in this moment, but
I know when she said that, because it kind of like, you could tell deep down that's what Karen was thinking, and you didn't think it's something she would say out loud, and it was kind of like word vomit, and all the women were like, huh? But it's true. Like she keeps saying, well, he lives like 8 states away or whatever, and that's fine, but we haven't seen him at a function with the women. Like, we've seen him with the girl, her daughters, and driving around, whatever. But like, I guess that's what they mean. Like whenever he's here, like, do they go to dinner? Like a double date? Do they do that? And I think that's just where they're like, is he around? Like, we want to see him. We don't know. So of course they're all like, right. Hi, Jamal.
Right. And that's, it's unclear to me. The way Robin and Karen are talking about it makes me, it almost sounds like they've literally never met him in person, which seems kind of crazy, but may actually be true, depending. I don't know how much he's been around in the past when they weren't together. We certainly haven't seen much of him. But I mean, it is crazy, like, to think of, if Robin and Giselle really are real life best friends, the fact that they've been back together for the better part of a year now, and she's still like, why don't I ever see this guy? People who do long distance like that, for the most part, they're, you know, these people have money, they, it's an hour plane ride, whatever, like, they spend time together. And so it's weird if he's really not around at all.
And I mean, and I mean, it's not, again, like, I don't feel that Giselle has to share about her relationship. I really don't. If you want to keep things private, that's fine. But let me repeat myself. Just don't hound on other people's, you know, like, right. Like Ashley does not have to explain to you her relationship with Michael. She doesn't owe you anything. And that's where I stand with that, because I'm kind of like, I would be pissed, I guess, if that was me. I'd be like, stop asking about my relationship. I don't need to like tell you about it.
Yeah. I that's the thing. Like, I like Giselle a lot. I have generally positive feelings toward her, but sometimes the way in which she goes about her messiness is a little bit like, sometimes you deserve what's coming to you a little bit. And like, I'm not going to be upset on Giselle's behalf when Karen is giving her a hard time, because it's like, to be honest, you've earned it.
Right. And like, of course, yeah, we're not, listen, you guys have heard us talk about housewives we actually don't like. I like Giselle as well, but it is easy to talk about our feelings about her because she makes it easy. She does. But, you know, I wish, here's my feelings. I'm jumping back to Candy, yeah, yes. We didn't see her much again this episode, which makes me feel, is this fight that we were talking about before, that it's every episode, the only thing keeping her in?
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, she's obviously with the group on this trip, but she doesn't really take like a front seat in any of these conversations. I would say, like, I mean, it makes sense that with people like Karen and Giselle, and Giselle and Robin, and Ashley and Karen, like, they all have more kind of back, like, history and like deeper relationships with each other. Whereas I feel like in a lot of these things, like, Candace is kind of, I don't know, she doesn't really get involved in the conversation that much. And I think Wendy has had so much dynamic with Karen, and she's also had her stuff with Ashley, that it's like, it feels like she has more of kind of an active role in the group as a whole than Candace does, almost.
Right. And like, her individual scenes, like, we saw her once in like this recording studio, like, has that gone anywhere? No. And then this episode, we see her like contemplating buying new luggage, and we're like, come on, like, there are people with more exciting things going on over here.
That luggage moment was really strange, because it's like, I don't like, okay, like, do you need a new suitcase? Like, what? I don't care. I do feel like with Candace, I think there's kind of this general vibe, in my eyes at least, that like, it seems pretty likely that this could be her last season, just depending kind of how all the chips fall with the stuff with Monique. It seems unlikely that both of them will come back to the show. And if I had to guess, if one person was going to get fired, I would say Candace, just because I think overall she brings less to the table, mm-hmm. in a general sense. I think she's more, you know, whatever. Like, I think maybe her time has sort of run out. Yeah. But it's interesting that we're already kind of picking up on that it's like, okay, so if she's not going to film with Monique, mm-hmm. at all for the rest of the season, then if her only storyline is her stuff with Monique, then the only other scenes she can do are like rehashing that with other people and like we've already seen a bunch of that. And obviously it's not like it's not going to come up again, but there's only so much mileage you can get out of that. And I guess next week we're going to see her and Ashley kind of, I mean, that's kind of like a new dynamic where Ashley's like, I wrote the statement and that's going to be a whole thing. But it's like Monique versus Candace, it already feels like has kind of lost steam because there's so much else going on.
Yeah, totally. You hate to see those 1 to 2 season housewives and you're like, oof, I was rooting for you. And then Kerplunk.
Yeah, I think Candace to me has kind of a similar energy to somebody like Brandi Glanville, where it's like she is a personality that is really good at, you know, making drama, being messy, causing a scene, stirring up shit left and right. But sometimes people like that who have these sort of like toxic traits are kind of like, they're like really bright stars that burn out faster. Like it's super exciting, but like not everyone has that kind of like 10 season sustainable housewife arc.
Yeah.
You know, Kyle Richards is not out here like getting in court cases with all of her co-stars.
You're right.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Did you know that women make up 56% of law students?
It's clear that the future of the legal field is female. So why are so many legal podcasts and reviews authored by men? Hi, I'm Leah Littman.
I'm Kate Shaw.
And with Melissa Murray, we are the hosts of Strict Scrutiny.
Each week, we break down the latest headlines and biggest legal questions facing our country to give you expert views you won't hear anywhere else.
Strict Scrutiny is your guide to the Supreme Court.
New episodes drop every Monday. Make sure to subscribe to Strict Scrutiny wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, it's funny, though, about this, the fact that they are on a trip. When you watch other franchises like Beverly Hills, you wait for the glam and the outfits and everything that they arrive to in the meals and everything and just their daily excursions. And for Potomac, that's just a whole other, you know, that's just a whole other area. We're here for Potomac. Yeah.
I'm like, the girls look cute. Do I remember all the outfits? No, I remember Giselle's headband.
And I remember Robin's neon striped maxi dress. Like that's, and Ashley's pumps. Ooh. That's it. Like,
I like
breast pumps, that is.
I liked Ashley's hair on day two with the headscarf, the poof, the little bangs.
Yes.
You know, Ashley is stunning. And I think she does a lot of different kind of things with her look. And I enjoy seeing how she looks.
Yes, I agree. Well, that is one. When Dylan and I have interviewed the Housewives of Potomac, we have asked them a bunch of the same questions. And regarding the fashion question, we always ask, like, whose closet would you read? And them specifically always said their own.
It's a lot of different style and a lot of very specific style.
Yeah.
let's wrap it up. Who is your number one Bravo Lab in the group?
You go first for this.
I'm going to choose Karen. I, as always, am enjoying her shadiness. I definitely think she's handled this weird reoccurring argument with Wendy fairly well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm just having a lot of fun with her. She thinks Portugal is a city. God bless her. Robin thought they were going to Brazil. Like, I don't know what these women are doing. Clearly, Karen doesn't have 4 degrees in geography.
when she said that, I literally laughed out loud. But you know what? It's fun. Maybe she just wasn't thinking that day. Whatever, it's fine. I'm giving mine to. I so badly want to give it to Giselle/Karen, but like, I'm just not this week. I'm giving to Ashley because I liked the fact that she was able to go away and with her girlfriends and still, you know, have that mother instinct, which doesn't go away, by the way. But so I'm going to give that to her for this week.
Amazing.
Thank you so much.
We will be back. We will be back on Thursday to talk about Below Deck and the series premiere of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, which is on Wednesday night. It's going to be very exciting. I know we're ready to get into it. In the meantime, don't forget to check out our Bravo by Betches collection on shopbetches.com. You can rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast and follow us on Instagram at Bravo by Betches.
Betches.